And welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you this Wednesday, and we've got a really full show today, including we're going to be talking to folks from Absinthe Films. They've got their new film Resonance that's going to be playing, and we'll be talking to one of the writers in that film doing amazing stuff. We'll be chatting to him on the phone. Also coming up, Once Upon a Mattress folks are here to talk about that production from Theater at Latitude 58. Also, the Northern Light Church Bazaar is coming up Saturday. We'll be talking to folks about that. The No Umbrellas Fashion Show is happening Saturday, and that's being put on by Alaskan Brewing, and it is benefiting the American Red Cross and benefiting those put out by the Gastineau Apartments fire. So I get to host that on Saturday. I'm real excited, and we'll be talking to the organizers about that as well. And also Love Incorporated, a fundraiser that's coming up on Friday, and we'll be talking to the folks putting that together. Well, it's rain heavy at times is the forecast for the rest of today. And tonight, the same thing happening. Same thing happening for the next few days. And it might be kind of clearing up towards Friday night, where there's mostly cloudy skies with a chance of snow and rain. Lows 25 to 31 degrees on Friday night. And then mostly cloudy skies with a chance of snow Saturday through Sunday night. So a little bit of rain, a little bit of snow in the forecast for the upcoming next few days. Right now, it's National Native News.
Native Voice 1. The Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. As we continue to look at the Native vote, we turn to Minnesota, where Tristan Autone reports Red Lake voters may not have turned out in force, but did play big roles in deciding social issues.
With nearly 7,000 people living on the Red Lake Reservation and an additional 3,000 living in urban areas, it's estimated that Red Lake tribal members have nearly 30% of their population registered to vote. It may not seem like much compared to other states with large Native vote populations. However, that small voting population has enough power to decide county races ranging from county commission seats to sheriff. As well, voters on Red Lake made their voices heard on two important provisional ballots, a photo ID law and a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Both amendments failed statewide. Michael Muras is public relations officer for the Red Lake Band of Chippewa.
The amendment was about declaring marriage between one man and one woman. Right now, gays getting married in Minnesota is illegal. This would have stopped any legislation down the road, whether it's 10 or 15 years as society changes, whatever. You know, in many places it has changed. People are thinking differently about it. It would have prevented that from happening down the road.
According to Muras, voter registration and turnout didn't differ much from 2008. However, with state senators and representatives, county board members, and commissioners indebted to Native voters, Muras says the next step will be to run Native candidates in the state and begin moving the political power of Indian country forward both on the ground and in state and federal arenas. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
The Crazy Horse Monument took part in a diabetes awareness campaign Tuesday night. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt has more.
Diabetes is a major concern in Indian country and a serious issue for many health workers among South Dakota's nine tribes. Tuesday night, officials with the Crazy Horse Monument in western South Dakota decided to raise awareness of the disease. The monument was one of 400 public monuments and venues worldwide that were bathed in blue light during evening hours. Blue is the color that represents diabetes. It signifies the sky, shared by all people, and a unified effort to fight the disease. Along with the Crazy Horse Monument, a park in Sioux Falls featured a blue light display last evening. The attractions were working to bring attention to diabetes before World Diabetes Day, which takes place today. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
An online Facebook campaign is urging people to wear their traditional footwear. For a second year in a row, college student Jalen Atsi is encouraging people to rock your mocks on November 15th.
I picked this month, November, because it's Native American Heritage Month. The date is random. You will wear your mocks all day on this day. You basically be representing your identity as Native Indigenous Indian, showing pride and showing all the non-Natives that we are still here on this earth.
Atsi says the movement is being proud of Native heritage.
I'm really big on identity for youth. My mom and I, my sisters, we were sitting in the kitchen one day and I was like, I should do like a Rock Your Mocks thing. And like, we kind of laughed and like, as I thought about it, it had really had a lot of meaning behind it. And I started thinking about history because, identity is a real issue right now with a lot of young Natives being balance within the urban world and being Native. And I thought this would be a great way to help others and getting to know what their roots are. There's different details and different moccasins that different tribes and they have, and different meaning, different styles. And I think it'd be awesome to learn about someone else's culture by their moccasins.
Atsi from Laguna Pueblo in New Mexico says she'll be rocking her traditional Pueblo moccasins on Thursday. Atsi was recently on Native America Calling talking about her event. On this day in 1908, Dr. Walter Sobolev was born in Alaska. The Tlingit man was a pastor, scholar, translator, and held various leadership positions. He passed away last year at the age of 102. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Music there from the amazing Santa Gold, and you'll be able to hear that music as part of the soundtrack to Resonance, the new Absinthe film that's going to be premiering in Juneau coming up Thursday. And on the phone with me right now is Blair Habenick, who's one of the featured writers. Blair, thanks so much for tuning in here and letting us know that you're coming to, or that this film's coming to Juneau, and you're one of the featured writers as well. You also, of course, you say you ride for LibTech and Volcom and also Dragon Goggles. So you're one of these, you're a sponsored writer, man. You're living the dream.
Well, thank you for having me. And, yeah. I'm a professional snowboarder, and it is a dream.
Yeah. Sure. How long have you just snowboarded your entire life? Or tell me a little bit about your experience in snowboarding.
I've been snowboarding since I was 12, probably the first time I jumped on a snowboard, but I've been skiing since I was 2 or 3. My parents were, let's say my dad was a ski bum and my mom followed him. And
so, yeah,
they got me on skis very early, and then I switched over to snowboarding when I was about 12,
yeah.
14. I started snowboarding, I still skied, and then I completely switched over when I was about 14 or 15.
Tell me about that switch. I mean, what was going on that made you want to switch over to snowboarding at that point?
My dad also had gotten me into surfing by the time I was 12, and I was skateboarding pretty heavily. And I pretty much all my interest was kind of turning sideways.
Yeah, yeah. It's a natural motion to be in if you're already accustomed to surfing and skating.
Yeah, I would go up to the mountain, and I would ski a little bit, and then I would throw my snowboard, and I would just wouldn't really put the skis back on, and eventually it just completely faded out.
Did you feel like did you kind of feel like you took a big jump in your ability when you switched over to the snowboard, or was it just more that it felt better?
It's completely based off feeling.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the experience of working with Absinthe Films, and this is the fourth film you've been in with Absinthe, and their films are just sort of set apart by being such high quality, amazing, like next level stuff, and then also what I feel like sets apart Absinthe Films so much is that they kind of try to bring you through a journey.
Justin Hosnick, main filmer and director and kind of leader of Absinthe, definitely has a vision that he brings to every film, and there's quite a few layers that go into the movies. I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
That journey that he takes you through. It's composed of a lot of different layers, and when you watch it, when you watch it once compared to when you watch it for the 10th or 15th time, you pick up on a lot of different stuff.
And that's true. That's the way people do watch these, right? I mean, you've got especially people who are like, you know, trying to emulate some of the stuff you guys are doing. I mean, I'm sure they sit there and memorize moves and when you talk to these guys, I'm sure they sort of say, oh, yeah, back in 2009 when you did this run, or, you know, does that sort of stuff come up?
Yeah, I hear that, and I say that to other professional snowboarders that I meet that I, you know, that are a little bit past me in age, and I grew up watching their video parts. I definitely, you know, put their VHSs, and I put them through the ringer until the point where the tape jammed, and you'd have to go buy a new movie. So, yeah, that's definitely a good way to learn a lot of freestyle aspects and line choices and how to read terrain. You watch a video, and you see what the best are doing, and then you try to emulate it.
Yeah, right, and just like this, what's possible? I mean, what's out there, what people are trying and doing and all that kind of stuff must be a kind of a revelation sometimes seeing that stuff.
For sure, and it used to be a lot different, you know, with the advent of the Internet and how clips are now put on so quickly after something new is learned. It used to be that the video, when it came out at the beginning of the year, was all the best footage from the year before. No one had seen it yet, and I believe it's still that way. I think the presentation is still best when it is such. But, you know, people throw up their brand new tricks that they learned, and it's a 30-second clip. It doesn't hit me the same, but they can do it, so.
Yeah. Well, the other revelation, I think, in a lot of the ski and snowboard movies is the helmet cams. I mean, this prevalent use of these helmet cams.
That has been huge for the action sports industry in general. I think people being able to take control of their own media and go out and, you know, make a, you know, give the viewer a feel of kind of what they're seeing through their eyes. And that technology's come so far with GoPro and Contour and every, you know, there's, I think there's a couple other companies out there.
Yeah.
Like the two main ones that are really kind of pushing the POV. And they're great. They definitely add a lot to the films, I think.
Right, yeah. It makes it, for someone like me who hasn't been on a snowboard in a few years, it makes it pretty exciting to be able to ride along there. Yeah. Tell me about this particular film. This is called Resonance. Where was the bulk of this filmed, or was it just all over the globe? Or
it's all over the globe. There's, I don't know how many exact writers in the movie this year, but we have writers based in Europe, in the United States. People spend a lot of time in Canada. I couldn't name all the exact locations. For myself, I filmed mostly this year in Canada and Alaska.
And so
we're in Washington, my home state.
Oh, okay. And so where in Alaska were you mostly filming? Is that mostly in Haines, that kind of area? Or?
Yeah, mostly in Haines. Yep, fly into Juneau and then either jump on the ferry or take a plane or a bird and get up there.
What are some of the areas for someone like you who kind of has the ability to access any area in the world in a way, or the people you ride with do? What are some of those kind of holy grail areas that people always want to get to?
Haines.
Haines is one of them, yeah.
I mean, Alaska in general. I enjoy riding the mountains, and Alaska has, in my opinion, the best mountains in the world. So why look anywhere else? I mean, there's of course other spots in the world that have just beautiful, incredibly featured mountains and different snowpacks, and it's always great to experience new cultures. But every time I go to Alaska, you know, I kind of fall in love again. I live in Washington, and it just feels like a bigger version of Washington when I go up there. I feel at home.
What's your home mountain in Washington?
I bounce around a bit between, my home mountain is Crystal Mountain. I ride there mostly. And then I ride Mount Baker a bit, and then the Alpenthal, Snoqualmie, and get to Stevens. I kind of try to ride all of Washington.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, how long have you been
mostly,
able...
Mostly Crystal Mountain.
How long have you been able to visit Alaska? How many years have you been coming up here?
This is the fifth year this year.
Oh, okay, cool. And yeah, just always something new for you?
It's so expansive out there. You can always look around. And this year we found a new zone that it had just been under my nose. So the last 3 years I've been up there, it's amazing because it's so vast and... You know, you just have to catch that run out of the corner of your eye that maybe you didn't see last time. It's quick up there. You know, you're flying around in a helicopter, and those things aren't cheap to operate. And you sit down for a second, and you look at a line, and you take some pictures of everything. And it kind of takes a couple years, though, to really get your bearings of, like, where you are, I feel like, up there. Some people do it quicker than others, but it took me a couple years to know where I was from year to year. Now I feel like I have a better understanding and was able to find a couple things this year in zones that I just things that I overlooked in other years.
Yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, it is so expansive. There's so many opportunities and options to go for that you, it must be kind of overwhelming the first couple times you come up.
Exactly, for sure. I mean, it's and the terrain's huge, and you know, the consequences are big. And
yeah.
Flying in a helicopter, which is like, it also takes a little bit of like, I mean, not like a learning curve to sit in it, but you got to get used to it, you know?
Right.
There's like, it's, you know, high intensity and a lot of adrenaline. And so I think when you slow it down, though, time in all ways, whether you're on the mountain or just sitting there, you can look around and really take it all in. There's just so much possibility up there.
Do you find that it's kind of being discovered now? Is it is there a little bit of you know, that sense that this vast undiscovered territory is getting a slightly overrun, or is it just so big and so expansive that that'll kind of never happen?
I don't think it's been very overrun, at least in snowboard videos. I think there was like a really big push for free riding, you know, like 10 years ago, even more so than now. And people really exploring, but I think a lot more people are, I think it's coming into popularity again. I think freestyle snowboarding kind of took over there for a little bit as the main, but I think free riding is really coming into like a, it's definitely freestyle still leads snowboarding, but I think free riding is the soul of snowboarding.
Yeah. Just getting out there, finding new terrain, figuring out new lines, yeah, all that stuff.
And there's really no other, like, better place to experience that than Alaska, so I think for sure it's getting a little, you know, it's people are starting to come there more and more from the last couple of years that I've been there, you know.
Right.
But I'm sure, you know, it'll go in and out of cycles.
Yeah. Well, residents.
But as far as that question goes, though, I think it's unlimited in a sense up there, as long as you have an eye for it.
Yeah, I mean, right, and you know, you've got to have a lot of skill and a lot of expertise to figure out where you can even go and work with the right guides and all that stuff as well. I'm sure that's a huge part of it. Yeah,
that's paramount. I mean, the guides are such a huge part of the equation up there for finding new lines, safe lines, and, you know, helping you get into them
and
get out safely. And just having a good guy that you trust, and then you know, they are up there a lot more than you. And
that's
so
right,
there's definitely times when guides have, you know, ideas for you, you know, which is awesome when they kind of watch you ride and figure out the kind of terrain you like, and then they present an idea to you and maybe show you a picture they have on their camera that they took up this peak that, and you find it really interesting, and then maybe you go and fly there and check it out.
Well, cool, man. So, Blair, this is the film is called Resonance. It's Absinthe Films' newest. It's premiering in – it's the Juno premiere here in coming up tomorrow night. It's at Centennial Hall,
You guys are gonna love the movie. It's great. So much – it's a bunch of it filmed in Haines, so close to you guys in Juno, and just like to say hello to Mark Schultz and Terry and Juno, and hope you guys have a great winter up there at Eagle Crest. What an incredible resort.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Blair. We appreciate you calling in and letting us know about Resonance. And, yeah, like you say, everyone here is really looking forward to seeing that movie. It's going to be great tomorrow night.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting back up to Juneau and going to Eagle Crest. So.
Cool, man. Well, check in with us when you get up here. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's Blair Habnick, LibTech, Volcom, and Dragon Rider, one of the featured riders in the Absinthe film Resonance that's premiering here in Juneau. The Juneau premiere of it is happening tomorrow night. Thanks again, Blair.
Go check it out. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Even though
More music there from Santa Gold. And in the studio now with us is a huge cast and crew and collection of folks from Once Upon a Mattress, the Theater at Latitude 58 production that's coming up, and Cinnamon Simpson. I'll ask you first, tell me just a little bit about the show and Once Upon a Mattress. It sounds like a great, fun, fairy tale, musical, fun, cool thing.
Oh, it absolutely
is. Do I have
is.
That right?
You absolutely do. Theater at Latitude 58, Once Upon a Mattress, it's Rodgers and Hammerstein. So, of course, a lot of fun music, a lot of fun dancing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So, really cool. So, okay, so we've got a whole bunch of folks in here. So I'm just going to ask each one of you to step up to a mic and introduce, maybe just say your name, and then who do you play in the play?
I'm Julia Smith. I play Lady Larkin.
So what is like? Well, I'll just ask you each a question. So Lady Larkin, what's her? What does she do?
I'm one of the ladies in waiting. I get to wait on the new princess who comes in during the play.
Okay, the new princess. And then who? What's your name and what do you play?
I'm Summer Smith, and I play the minstrel's apprentice.
Okay, now what does the minstrel's apprentice get to do?
Well, we get to do lots of singing, and we basically narrate the play as it goes along.
Oh, so you not only kind of are a little bit maybe one of the kind of people on the side of the thing, but then you come in every now and then and say something key to the plot line of what's happening in the play.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, and what's your name?
I'm Lydia, and I play the minstrel.
Okay, you also play one of the same minstrel?
Yeah,
kinda?
She's
okay.
My apprentice.
There, oh, I see. You're the minstrel, you're the apprentice.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, and then what's your name?
I'm Rebecca, and I play Princess Winifred.
Okay, is this I'll ask, is this a pretty fun play to do? Have you been in other plays before?
Oh, yes.
Very good, and you've been in other plays?
Uh-huh.
And so what's so fun about this one?
Mainly the dancing. I love the dancing.
All right. So there's a lot of choreography and dancing and stuff happening in this, Cinnamon?
Absolutely.
So tell me about that. Who has to? Who directs this?
Well, I direct it.
Okay.
I co-direct with Karen Allen. I'm also artistic director for Theater at Latitude 58. And we've had to have two choreographers for this because there's so much in there. Both Janice Hurley and Richie Adon, very, very fabulous choreographers here in town.
So what is there like challenges to when you're dancing and having to, I'll ask you, if you're dancing and then having to sing at the same time, is that, I mean, that seems like it'd be kind of hard.
Yeah, it definitely gets difficult, especially to remember the lyrics and the dance moves. It's hard work.
Plus, you're just out of breath, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're jumping around the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have sympathy for Madonna, finally, right?
Yeah.
All that dancing. That's hard. So, okay, and then tell me a little bit about, maybe I'll ask you, tell me a little bit about the story of Once Upon a Mattress.
So, the story is The Princess and the Pea with lots and lots of different twists that they added. The queen gives each princess a test, and it's always different. It's never the same. And
I didn't know that. I thought it was always the pea.
No,
and
not in this version.
That was if you were, and the pea was if you were a real princess, right? You could tell you were uncomfortable because there was a pea under your mattress.
Yes.
I don't know. I can sleep anywhere, so I would never. It would never work for me. I'm a commoner. So what are some of the other tests that the princesses have to undergo?
One of the princesses had to lift this 2-ton weight.
What?
Yes.
That doesn't sound very princessy.
The queen is very unfair.
Who plays the queen?
A lady by the name of Chris Clark, and she is fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Is she she's kind of an evil queen, or is she just hard, kind of hard-edged?
Ooh. Somebody else answer that.
She just wants what's best for her son.
Oh, okay. Very fair assessment.
She thinks is best anyway.
Very fair assessment of her motives there. Yes. Okay. Well, and so tell me a little bit of just kind of this, when's it happening and where and how people can get tickets and stuff like that. Who wants to step up? I'll ask you. Go ahead.
Okay. It's at Thunder Mountain this weekend, Friday at 7, Saturday at 2 and 7, and Sunday at 2. There are tickets at jach.org.
Yep, that's right. jach.org,
yeah.
Yep.
And Hearthside and from our cast members.
Okay, cool. And so it's only just this one weekend?
Yeah, just this weekend.
Oh, so people have to act quickly. They got to get on this. They got to get the tickets. They got to get online. They got to make sure they're all lined up to see this or else they're going to miss out. So tell me, I'm going to ask you, Cinnamon, just a little bit about the actual Latitude theater at Latitude 58.
Yeah.
Just tell me about that organization.
Well, this is our inaugural season. We started in January of 2012, and so this is the culmination of it. We're excited. We've got so many things planned up for the next upcoming year. It's just been a blast working with all these families.
And the idea of the theater group is that it's aimed at working with kids and young adults and all that? Or tell me about
mostly geared towards families. We have got both adults and very young siblings on the stage. It is meant for everybody who wants to be on the stage.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, what a cool thing. Well, thanks you guys all for coming in.
Thank you. Break a leg, as they say.
And I'm sure it's going to be great. That's Once Upon a Mattress. It's coming up. Tell the times one more time here.
Friday at 7, Saturday at 2 and 7, and Sunday at 2.
Okay, and tickets are at jahc.org. It's happening at Thunder Mountain. Thanks again. Once Upon a Mattress. It sounds awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Broadcast of this program is made possible in part by the Alaska Budget Report, specializing in the straight scoop on state government since 1991, on the web at akbudgetreport.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 14th of November, 2012. It's the birthday of the satirist P.J. O'Rourke, born Toledo, 1947, who said he never ever was a Democrat. He said, "I went from being a Republican to being a Maoist, then back to being a Republican again. Chose to be a writer," he said, "because it was the 60s. There was no quality control on anything. If I wrote, who's to say that I wasn't a writer? Wrote for the National Lampoon, then Rolling Stone, published more than a dozen books, including Republican Party Reptile, Give War a Chance." P.J. O'Rourke, who said, "One of the problems with being a writer is that all of your idiocies are still in print somewhere. I strongly support paper recycling." It's the birthday of Astrid Lindgren, born in Vimmerby, Sweden, 1907, grew up on a farm in southern Sweden. One day, her daughter Karin was sick in bed, so the mother started telling her stories about a strong, spunky girl who makes fun of adults, gets by just fine without a family. And that girl was Pippi Longstocking. She had a pet monkey, magical powers, bright red pigtails. The story was published in Sweden as Pippi Långstrumpa in 1945. It's the birthday of William Steig, born in New York City, 1907. The New Yorker bought his first cartoon when he was just 23 years old. He collected them in many books, including Small Fry, Spinky Sulks, Our Miserable Life. It was only late in his life that William Steig began writing books for children. And in 1990, he wrote Shrek, about a green ogre. The name Shrek means fear in Yiddish. He has nightmares about fields of flowers and happy children who keep hugging and kissing him. Eventually, Shrek meets an ugly princess. They fall instantly in love. And the book ends with the line, "And they lived horribly ever after, scaring the socks off all who fell afoul of them." And it's the birthday of Claude Monet, born in Paris, 1840, who, along with his friend Auguste Renoir, took their canvases outside to paint directly from nature, working as quickly as they could, so their paintings looked like sketches, and that sketchy style became known as Impressionism. In the last 30 years of his life, Monet painted almost nothing but the water lilies in his garden at Giverny, 4 acres where he built the bridges, dug the lake, selected all the flowers and plants himself. Monet, who said, "I am following nature without being able to grasp her. I perhaps owe having become a painter to flowers." Here's a poem for today by Jane Hirschfield, "Meeting the Light Completely." Even the long-beloved was once an unrecognized stranger. Just so the chipped lip of a blue-glazed cup, blown field of a yellow curtain, might also, flooding and falling, ruin your heart. A table painted with roses, an empty clothesline. Each time, the found world surprises. That is its nature. And then, what is said by all lovers, what fools we were not to have seen. A poem by Jane Hirschfield, "Meeting the Light Completely," from The October Palace, published by Harper Perennial and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Wall Street Journal Weekend Edition, offering stories that go beyond business and finance to something new. Subscriptions at subscribe.wsj.com/getweekend. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Back with the Juneau Afternoon now, and rain heavy at times is the forecast for the rest of today. Rain again for tonight. That's the forecast kind of out for the foreseeable future until rain with snow in the forecast for Friday night. So that's also the forecast for Thursday night as well, as the lows get just below 30 degrees, but mostly in the forecast rain through the weekend. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but the bearer of good news is with us now. Next is Eve Reckley and Ginny Palmer. They're here to talk about the Northern Light Church Bazaar that's coming up on Saturday. So thanks you guys for coming in. I appreciate it. This sounds like a really fun event where you get to make a lot of things, and then people get to get those great things, right?
And they'll be wonderful gifts. So it gives them many ways.
Yes.
It starts at 9 a.m. and goes till 2:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay.
And there's a wonderful luncheon at beginning at 11, and that goes until 1:30. Homemade soups, bread, and a slice of pie, all for $8.
Sounds like the kind of day that a nice homemade soup will be perfect for, right?
And we have about 5 or 6 different kinds, so you can choose, or you can even sample a couple of them.
Wow. Well, where do all these come from? Who cooks all these?
Well, the Community of Christian Women sponsors this, but everybody in Northern Light Church helps. They're all invited, and a lot of men, and just a lot of people are involved. And the Community of Christian Women is made up of, actually, anybody who walks in the door at Northern Light is eligible for membership, and we like to invite everyone to participate.
An inclusive group, yes.
Very inclusive.
Well, Jenny, you were saying there's also crafts available as well.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about that part of it.
Okay, it's an amazing time because we have crafts. We have collectible dolls that are absolutely wonderful. If you are a young woman, an old woman, or grandmother, these dolls will be very special and will be wonderful for you. We have wooden bowls that are handmade, that are turned. A lot of it, of the wood, comes from trees here in Juneau that have been collected. And the man who does these, Mr. Gotchell, Don Gotchell, it can tell you about which tree it comes from.
Oh, it's got a history, pedigree with each bowl.
Oh, you bet.
Nice.
And then we have attic treasures, you know, what, and everybody has in their attic special treasures. And it's amazing the type of things that come in, absolutely amazing. Because we have several people that have gotten older and have started to close out their houses. And as a result, sometimes there are beautiful, beautiful things that are all very reasonably priced.
It's a little antique roadshow.
Oh, you bet.
It's nice, yeah.
And you may find
some hidden treasure. Yeah, you never know.
That very special thing.
That's what happens. People find, oh, it's just an old painting. It was on the back of this thing. I don't know. And they go, well, that's a Van Gogh. You may not have known that.
Yeah, I know. And you can walk away with it. That's for right. maybe 25 cents, so it's a good deal.
This is where it happens. And so often they say, well, I was at a church bazaar, and they had it. And
yeah,
see, so
that's
the next great undiscovered thing will happen Saturday at Northern Lights Church. That's an exciting prospect.
And then on top of that, because we like to take care of the kids, too, we have kids activities that will be running from 10 to 12.
Okay.
And so we keep them involved, too. So while you're shopping, your kids can have a good time, and then you can all stop for lunch.
Well, this is all – obviously, Saturday is going to be really fun, every reason to go to it. But then on top of it, all this is raising money for a really interesting cause. So what tell me about that.
Well, it all goes for missions, and a lot of it stays in Juneau. We've supported a WARE shelter and the Glory Hole and many other things. But the exciting thing last year – was that doctors Carolyn and George Brown have started a clinic in Nigeria.
Kenya.
In Kenya, sorry. In Kenya. And it now is, they have worked to get Africans involved in taking care of the patients. And so they have a scholarship program set up for pharmacists, for doctor assistants, and nursing. And so last year we gave scholarship money for that. And then again, we're both United Methodist and Presbyterian. So we pool our money with the United Methodist, and we have set aside for Presbyterian. So we get global reach that way. And the Alaska Children's Home, which I think that's in
Anchorage.
Is it in Anchorage now? Mm. And we support that as well.
Wow. So there's so a lot of it stays here, but then it's also Juneau kind of contributing to the world picture and helping health in faraway places like Kenya.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. So when you come to our bazaar, you maybe feel like you're just having a good time, but your money keeps on working. And it's amazing. And, I mean, we have places like Haven House that is trying to be developed because it's a place for women to go when they come out of incarcerated situations, you know, and Camp Champ, which takes care of the children out at Eagle River Camp. The Glory Hole, of course, that Eve mentioned. The Aware Shelter, which is really close to everyone's heart here in town. And all of these things are really crucial to keeping our population strong at all levels. And so this is really an exciting bazaar from that standpoint.
Just a kind of a one small little part of helping fund all of that stuff that so much a part of contributing to this community.
But the big thing we want to promote here is the bazaar itself. So the doors open at 9 a.m. and it will be running until 2:30. So you want to come early because they have lots of these wonderful handmade crafts as well. And so then from 11 to 1:30 is this time to have homemade soup, a variety of fantastic soups, bread, and also a slice of homemade pie, just to get you started for the holiday season.
Just to get you fortified for the rest of the season that you got to be ready for.
Right. And then, of course, all of the bazaar items.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like a really fun event and a worthwhile and worthy event for people to go. And also, I mean, what could be better? You shop, you're fed, you're doing something for a great cause.
And your children have a chance to play.
And they have a chance to play. All right. Well,
everything's
it's all happening
included
at the Northern Lights Church Bazaar. That's all happening Saturday. As you said, it starts at 9 and the lunch starts at 11.
Right.
And there's all kinds of great stuff there.
Right. And Northern Light Church, for people who may not know, is downtown on B and 11th Street. And so most people know where Northern Light is, but
the big A-frame kind of one. It's the real tall one. Yeah,
yeah.
Right there in the flats.
A-frame.
That's right. Well, Eve and Jenny, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having us.
All right, have a great time on Saturday.
Yeah, we've enjoyed this.
Okay. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk about another fun event happening on Saturday, but it's a little later in the night. It's Saturday at 7 it's happening, and it's the No Umbrellas Fashion Show. Ashley Johnston from the brewery with me here. Ashley, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Andy. This is actually Kelsey.
Oh, Kelsey. I'm sorry. What did I say? I said Ashley.
It's all right.
Just because I work with your sister, Ashley, all the time.
No worries.
At the brewery as well. That's right. So there's a slip of the tongue. Sorry about that, but Kelsey Johnston is with us here. And Kelsey, tell me, you're the organizing this all this year. Lots going into this, organizing a fashion event.
Yep, it's really exciting, but I've had a lot of help, so that's really cool. But yeah, we're throwing a fundraiser for the Red Cross this year. It's going to be a fashion show.
And let me just stop you there, because Linda Greasy and Roger Kettig are with us here. Roger Reddick, sorry, are with us here right now, both from the Red Cross. Thanks, you guys, for joining us as well. And it's a, I think it's such a kind of cool thing that you guys are doing this, all going towards the Red Cross, which is a really obviously worthwhile. And we'll talk about some of the local stuff that's happened here recently that's really been a challenge. But yeah, so No Umbrellas. It happened last year. It was a sellout.
It was. It was a huge success. We were able to donate over $5,000 to our nonprofit last year, and hopefully we can do more this year.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So we're doing a larger venue this year, more vendors, more local people. A lot of people have been really excited and contributed a lot to this event. So I'm really excited.
And then how did you pick the Red Cross when you were first looking at who to do vendor? I mean, of course, they're such a worthy organization, one of many. Yeah.
You know, every year the brewery employees pick a nonprofit to donate to, and we do different fundraisers throughout the year. We raise tips and whatnot. This year we picked Red Cross, and just, you know, by recent events, it's just so important to make sure you're contributing to local nonprofits.
And then, of course, and we'll turn to Roger and Linda here on this, and then, of course, you know, Red Cross being a worthy organization, and that was just brought so close to home and brought home so, you know, so much to us during these Gastineau apartment fires. And so you guys are both kind of still dealing with that situation, right? The aftermath of that is still something that's probably pretty front in your mind.
It's taken a lot of our time, Andy. I brought Linda Giese, one of our Supreme volunteers, client assistant specialists, with me to sort of give her perspective and input both on her years of service to the Red Cross and, as you said, most recently with the Gastineau fire apartment victims.
Just a real quick update on that as far as Red Cross. We are hearing at the radio station every day, where can I bring things? When can I, you know, and how can I contribute to this? Just give a quick update for folks who are interested in helping in some way other than going to a fashion show and helping in that way.
Exactly.
How can people help? What's the best way they can help?
The best way to help with American Red Cross is, in fact, to send monetary to the Red Cross, because this helps our clientele recuperate, because we're able to add to our client assistance cards. We're able to actually help the folks get back on their feet, but they're helping themselves also because they're choosing their food items, they're choosing their clothing, and donations of other sorts. We recommend that you contact the Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, and make sure that you remember we're also grateful for any amount that you have to contribute.
Food bank as well and things like that. I mean,
correct.
If people want to contribute those things, those organizations are in town ready to go. But there's a couple of the volunteers that I work with here at KXLL, some of my DJs, were actually residents at the apartment. And they talked about getting that card and how much that helped them feel like things were a little bit normal. Instead of having to eat, oh, well, here's this food, right? It's like, okay, I get to buy the stuff that I typically want to buy, and I'll accept this help during this time because it's really, you know, it's a tough time. So it seems like that's just such a good way to go, is just to provide the funds that you guys need to then turn around and directly provide back to the Gastineau apartments. And then and all the other unforeseen next thing that happens, you guys will be on the scene, and you guys will be the ones kind of, you know, being the first responders, helping the first responders and helping those people.
That's right, Andy. The to the greater need includes not just the Gastineau apartment fire victims, but single-family fires in all of the southeast of Alaska. but primarily here in Juneau, which we had days before the Gastineau fire out in the valley. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that we do. We provide emergency housing for folks to stay if they're completely have to evacuate their homes in the form of a hotel stay for 3 nights. And then the client assistance cards that you mentioned is basically a debit card with a system that we go through to identify that by family size and component. For example, if they have infants, they get an allowance for infant formula. Alaska is unique in Red Cross world. We offer a special seasonal clothing allowance that no other state has. It's in addition to the standard that mm-hmm. we provide money on that debit card for them.
Yeah, and especially as the winter months are approaching, that's really important for people coping with this. All right, well, Kelsey, this is the great organization that this money is going towards now. Talk about this great event that we're going to have here. And I'll just reveal now, I get to be one of the hosts of this event, so I'm especially excited about this as well.
And when we're especially happy to have Andy, and he's going to be looking quite dapper in some outfits from Choco.
This is what I'm being promised, yeah, but yeah. I haven't been fitted yet, so I don't know. But
it'll be worth it just in
yes,
that alone.
Okay. it sounds like maybe you've seen something. Have you seen something?
I'm not going to. Okay. I'm not going to say.
All right. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to. Okay.
Surprises are better.
Okay. All right. So tell me about everyone who's involved. Maybe you don't have to list everybody, but some of the vendors and people like that that are involved.
Absolutely.
That people get to see. Yeah.
I'm actually so excited about this year. There's been a huge interest from local vendors. So some of those, of course, are the Depot Downtown Fairweather Gallery, which is new this year. Choco, which is – they have been so great. Also Shoefly.
People are always excited about Shoefly. Yes. Fun shoes.
Juno Drug is showing. We've got a unique showing from Miss Scarlett's. I'm actually pretty interested in seeing what that's going to look like. And in addition, we've got Kodiak Coats, TP Designs, Tana Peters Designs. And those are an Aurora project. Those are the main folks that are going to be actually showing. And then in addition, we've had so much response in just silent auction giveaways. Some of the big ones we've got from Tempsco. Alan Marine has donated some tours. We've got Wings of Alaska. There was a massage donated.
We go. Yes.
It's lots of fun stuff. Right. Trove has participated. I mean, it's almost at this point, you name it, and somebody's helped in some way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's been really great.
And the theme of No Umbrellas is real fashions for real Junoites or real Alaskans, right?
Exactly.
So,
the idea behind that is, in Southeast Alaska, we have a unique opportunity in a unique fashion sense because we do have high-end places like Choco and Shoefly and high-end abilities, but we have to be practical.
We have weather like this.
Outside.
Yeah. Today,
exactly.
For instance.
So,
which
you can
we're all really happy about.
So excited,
yeah.
But you can rock really nice clothes with extra tufts, and it's stylish and cool here. And in addition to that, we don't use umbrellas. So we thought, that's really what Junoites are about. We're no umbrellas.
Right, the first way to spot a tourist is they've got an umbrella.
Exactly.
It's like, so it's actually really practical, but yeah. I don't know. We feel like we can just dodge.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
special.
Great. Well, no umbrellas. So tell folks how they can get tickets and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. We have tickets available at the Jack and Harsh site as well as the Downtown Depot store. And we do have a few at the brewery location also. And then online, you can buy tickets through the Alaskan Brewing Company website and jhc.org.
All right. So there it is. All the online ways of doing it. And it's happening Saturday. Starts at 7 o'clock.
Starts at 7. Doors open at 6. So if you want to come and shop silent auction and maybe have some fun beer cocktails beforehand, and then the show starts at 7.
Fun beer cocktails. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Rendezvous is actually helping us out with some beer cocktails.
Yeah.
And You'll have to come to see what they're really like. But they are delicious.
Well, all right. So Kelsey Johnston from Alaska Brewery, thanks so much for letting us know about it. Linda Giese and Roger Redig from American Red Cross. That's where all the money for this fundraising event is going.
Exactly.
It's all going to American Red Cross. And as we all have seen very recently, American Red Cross is right there helping folks when disaster and tragic events hit. So thanks so much for your work in that area, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Talking to those folks there. Alaska Brewery, they wanted to let everyone know that the No Umbrella Show also is featuring a halftime with the Roller Girls, a special presentation from the Roller Girls. That'll be fun. And American Red Cross wanted to let everyone know that and invite everyone to be a volunteer with the Red Cross. And you can contact the Red Cross by calling 463-5713 and contact the Southeast District of the Juneau Red Cross. With me next is Ann Lockhart, and Ann Lockhart is with Love, Inc. Ann, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Ann, tell me, you guys have a fundraiser coming up on Friday.
Tell me about
this fundraiser.
It's our big fundraiser, the only really big fundraiser that we have per year. And so it's a dessert auction. And it's going to be Friday night, 7 o'clock, out at Valley Church on the backside of the Loop.
Tell me about Love, Inc. and what this organization's about.
Okay. It's a nonprofit, and it started over seven years ago here in Juneau. So it's bringing churches, Christian churches, together so that we're more coordinated and just trying to help folks both within the churches and our community. Just with the recent fire, we're helping several people, speaking with Roger at the Red Cross right away. We have lots of different ministries that are in place, like furniture. So we're giving out beds and linens and different things that have all been gently used, and some of them are brand new that are donated and in place at various churches. So it's really easy to
So you have all these – I mean, in Juneau, we have lots of little churches. And
right.
You have a bunch of people in each of those churches that want to help in these kind of situations. And you
exactly.
are in place to sort of say, okay, let's coordinate that. And I know that there's this
right.
resource at that church and this resource
exactly.
at that church and these people that want to – that kind of thing.
Yes. We have volunteers, team leaders, different churches that are housing, like kitchen ministry at one church, a baby ministry with diapers and baby clothes at another. We have furniture on the other side of our building in the warehouse, and just different teams that are in place of volunteers from all over that are ready to get the word and then make those deliveries to clients. So we get calls from various social agencies. We work a lot with SAIL, Southeast Alaskans mm-hmm. for Independent Living. SAIL, the AWARE shelter. We get calls from social workers at the hospital. So we have these ministries in place and are able, you know, to mobilize folks fairly easily. And those folks that are come from really small churches, they really enjoy being a part of a bigger organization.
Sure, that, you can aggregate that effort, and yeah. all of a sudden you've got lots of hands
lots
helping.
Lots of hands,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like such a natural idea, but one that probably wasn't in place. When did you guys start
up? Well, we started a little over 7 years ago, and it actually was started by a social worker back in Holland, Michigan, over 30 years ago, a social worker who was so frustrated and so overloaded with, you know, his caseload was so big, and he saw all these people sitting in the pews and thought, man, this is an untapped resource that we really need to get coordinated.
Kind of implement what you hear on Sunday.
Exactly.
Right?
Absolutely. And people
yeah.
are so happy.
Right.
So we get calls from pastors, from caseworkers, from the clients themselves. And not only are we doing, helping to give out material types of things. We've also recently gone to classes. So we are doing Jobs for Life, which is for the unemployed or underemployed, which is like a 2-month, 8 sessions. And each person that signs up has a mentor. So we have folks that we train to be mentors, and it's all volunteer.
Just emergency response, but
right.
also these kind of
long-term
issues
yeah.
that just helping people
right. with
improve
yeah.
their lives and those kinds of
helping
things.
Helping with employment, and then we've gotten calls from probation officers and had lots of people that are on house arrest or electronic monitors that have come to our classes and graduated and been really encouraged by, being mentored and learning new information. And also we just finished a money management, just basic money management classes, 8 sessions. And we have life skills going on right now in the prison and with the men. And soon we will have some life skills classes taught for the women. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, really exciting stuff. Now, is this something where if someone was maybe felt like they weren't a Christian or didn't want to, have that part of it, they
right.
would still get the help? Or how does
yes,
that work
absolutely.
out?
Yes, absolutely. You do not have to be
yeah.
a Christian. No,
it's just
not
it's,
at all.
It's just you guys kind of,
right.
using your faith and that the basis of your faith to help
exactly.
people and that sort of thing.
It's
and,
a faith-based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Organization.
Right,
that's right.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about the fundraiser.
So the fundraiser, we've been doing this from the whole time we've been in operation, 7 years, and it's just grown and grown and grown and grown to the point of we have so many people that have lovingly donated amazing things like baby quilts and very large quilts for queen size, king size bed, beautiful, beautiful items. Ivory bracelets that remind me of my mother's jewelry mm-hmm. from the 40s and the 50s. Beautiful ivory bracelets and also, just trendy fashion jewelry. We have booties that are made for babies, and we have photographs, and we have a beautiful print from Dr. Henry Akiyama and Grace Akiyama. They donate every year. Mm-hmm. The family does, Alan Akiyama. To our cause, and we have a great one that's matted and framed. It's called I Am the Walrus, and so that will be auctioned off. And
wow.
baskets of homemade jellies and jams, and the list goes on.
The list goes on and on,
yeah.
right. So it's all starting when and all that? Yeah, Friday?
Yes, Friday, 7 o'clock at Valley Church, 7 to 9. There'll be music. There's a group of musicians that will be singing and playing. People will be given dessert and coffee and teas. And have a chance to get an update on our ministry and classes and things. We'll have a short video, lots of visiting and buying. You can
sure.
buy for Christmas. You can buy for Thanksgiving. We have wonderful homemade cardamom bread and all kinds of pies, various things that can also be frozen. Christmas
yeah,
cookies.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So,
yeah, freeze it.
Yes.
Buy it now and freeze it for later.
That's
yeah.
right. That's
all right.
All right.
Well, it's all happening Friday. It's at the Valley Church.
It used to be called Valley Chapel. Valley Church, 9741 Mendenhall Loop Road. So on the backside of the loop, instead of turning off to the skater's cabin, you just turn left into the parking lot.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. So, we'll have a great fundraiser there Friday. Go ahead. One more
$25
thing. Okay.
Per ticket. There are tickets still at Hearthside, and there will be some tickets at the door.
Okay, so $25 great. Per ticket,
yes.
And then you can buy a bunch of great stuff. And sounds like
it.
A really fun event.
It is.
Have a great time
great.
Friday night.
Thank you
okay.
very much.
That's it for Juno Afternoon today. Thanks to all my guests for coming in today on this rainy, rainy, blustery day. We're coming up with headlines from NPR next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear.